Good morning, everyone. We are going to be reading Ephesians 3, 8 through 12. It says, "Unto me, who am less than the least of all saints, is this grace given, that I should preach among the Gentiles the unsearchable riches of Christ, and to make all men see what is the fellowship of the mystery, from the beginning of the world hath been hid in God, who created all things by Jesus Christ, to the intent that now unto the principalities and powers in heavenly places might be known by the church the manifold wisdom of God, according to the eternal purpose which he purposed in Christ Jesus our Lord, in whom we have boldness and access with the confidence by the faith of him."
Good morning, church.
Good morning, church.
Life is definitely good. If you know God is good, say amen.
Amen.
If you know God has been good to every one of us, say amen.
Amen.
That is good. God is definitely good. We are still in Ephesians. We are still in Ephesians. One of the things I want to say about Ephesians is Paul is really doing something amazing with Ephesians. In the first three chapters, he's talking about this theological significance. He's talking to the people, these Gentile converts, and what he's basically telling them is letting them know where they've been, who they are. He's letting them know the blessings. He's letting them know about the church, the power that they have, letting them know what they once were. He's letting them know all these different aspects of who they were and what they have. And if you look in chapter 1 of Ephesians, verse 3, he says, "Blessed be the God and the Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, who has blessed us with every spiritual blessing in the heavenly place in Christ, just as he chose us in him before the foundation of the world, that we would be holy and blameless before him." So he's letting them know the blessings that they have in Christ Jesus. And then you move on to chapter 2. He talks about the eyes of the heart, the hope of a calling that he has in his saints and the inheritance. And then also in chapter 2, he's talking about what we formerly once were, and we've seen that he is basically wanting us to know where we've been. He wants us to know who we once were so that we can appreciate where we are right now in Christ, in those heavenly places. And as he's giving this theological significance and letting them know that they once were a people who were lost, not the people of God, he's letting them know that they weren't accustomed to those promises. They were not able to receive those blessings because they were outside of God's chosen people. So he wanted to hammer that in. Then he dropped down to chapter 2, verse 20, and then he really talks to these Gentile converts, and he's letting these Gentile converts understand, listen, when you're building on this life, this new life that you have in Christ Jesus, there's going to be some things that we have to understand first and foremost. And those things are, verse 20, "having been built on the foundation of the apostles and prophets, Christ Jesus himself being the cornerstone." And I think that's major that these Gentile converts, I think it's major that we understand that we build on the cornerstone of Christ Jesus. And knowing that when building on this cornerstone, verse 21 comes in play, and the whole building being fitted together is growing together into a holy temple of the Lord, verse 22 results, "and to whom we are being built together into a dwelling of God in the Spirit." So it's major what Paul is doing. I think it's masterful what he's doing, letting them know that the theological significance, the way that the working of God kind of a way into God's mind, and basically breaking it down for them and who they are and what they're supposed to be in the church, and that they're building and being that dwelling place for the Lord. Then we get to chapter 3. And chapter 3 is really interesting because now he's going to hammer home the point of this mystery. He's going to reveal this mystery that the Ephesians, these Gentile converts need to know and need to understand. And that this mystery, we're going to get through this mystery as well that he's going to reveal to the Gentile converts. He's going to let them know how special they are and what they're going to be a part of, just as we apply that to our lives today. When we follow Christ and when we are in Christ, there are some things that we need to know and understand who we are in Christ Jesus, so that we understand how important of a task that we have of being obedient to who God is. It's very important to know how important we are in Christ Jesus and what's done for us, because we are His chosen people. But first, let's go through some of these verses. Chapter 3, verse 1, it's really major here. It says, "For this reason I, Paul, the prisoner of Christ Jesus, for the sake of you Gentiles." So he starts off right there and says, listen, I think we should understand this principle and understand what was really happening. I think we pass over this verse oftentimes. It says, verse 1 says, "For this reason I, Paul, the prisoner of Christ Jesus, for the sake of the Gentiles," you Gentiles. Go to Romans chapter 6. Romans chapter 6. Romans chapter 6, verse 16 and 17. It says, "Do you not know that when you present yourselves to someone as slaves for obedience, you are slaves to the one whom you obey, either of sin resulting in death or obedience resulting in righteousness?" Verse 17 says, "But thanks be to God that though you were slaves of sin, you became obedient from the heart to that form of teaching to which you have been committed." And when we look at Ephesians chapter 3, we see that Paul is writing from prison. So he's definitely committed. I mean, if you're following Christ Jesus and you get thrown in jail and you're still going to preach and write letters to his people, I mean, that's kind of major, isn't it? Amen? Like, that's major. And I think it's awesome that Paul has committed and devoted his time to serving the Lord. And that applies to us today. How much are we devoting our time and in our lives and devoting to the Lord, even if we have to go to prison? I'm not saying we should be radical, but I think at times we run from resistance. We hide from resistance. But there are times where we need to allow it to happen so that we can grow and become more devoted in what we are supposed to be doing in Christ Jesus. So we want to be committed and devoted to this. So we basically, what Paul is saying here is, I made that decision to trade in my body for God, for these eternal purposes, and for the gospel of Christ Jesus. And we've done the same thing. We chose Christ Jesus, and we said we are devoted to what it is, your work, and your fold, and the thing. So we're going to be a part of this, embrace who Christ is, embrace His blessings and everything that comes with it. We're going to embrace those things, and it has that eternal effect on us, that eternal change. And then verse 2, he goes in and says, in Ephesians chapter 3, verse 2, he says, "If indeed you have heard of the stewardship of God's grace, which was given to me for you, that by revelation there has been made known to me the mystery, as I wrote in brief." So what did you write in brief? You know, this mystery you're talking about. What did you write in brief, Paul? Well, what he's talking about here, he's saying, listen, guys, this is the theological continuation of chapter 2, verses 11 through 22. Again, he's telling these Gentiles, you once had this barrier between you Jews and Gentiles. You did not have access to the heavenly realm. You did not have access to the promises of God. You were excluded from Israel. You were excluded from God's people. You had no salvation. You were living in the world without hope, without God. You had no inheritance. And he's reminding these Gentile converts of what they had. And I love, again, the reason why we say it's masterful is because he's reminding them of who they are, this theological significance, so that he can hammer home the point of this mystery that he's definitely talking about. This mystery, look at verse 20 in chapter 2. Chapter 2, verse 20. Sorry. He says, "Having been built on the foundation of the apostles and prophets, Christ Jesus himself being the cornerstone, in whom the whole building being fitted together is growing into a holy temple in the Lord, in whom you also are being built together in a dwelling of God in the Spirit." So that's a part of this mystery. That's definitely a part of the mystery. But then you go on, drop down to verse 4 of chapter 3, he says, "By referring to this, when you read, you can understand my insight to this mystery." Well, Paul, tell us what this mystery is. This mystery of Christ. which is in other generations was not made known to the sons of men as it has been made, has been revealed to his holy apostles and prophets in the Spirit. To be specific, verse 6, to be specific, that the Gentiles are now fellow heirs and fellow members of the body and fellow partakers of the promise in Christ Jesus through the gospel. That's huge. That's huge. Can you imagine being told something your whole life, that you're not a part of something? You're not a part of this, and you're not a part of that. You're not chosen. You don't have the commonwealth of Israel. You're excluded. Being told that your whole life, that's just the way of life. And then someone comes along and says, we're going to change everything. We're going to change everything for the better. You now have access. You are now a people who are important. You are now a people that have a purpose. You are now a people who are being built together to be a dwelling of God in the Spirit. And that's so major for these Gentile converts to understand, because we understood when we became Christians or when we were first in Christ, we didn't understand everything. We just definitely didn't understand anything. But as we grow in Christ Jesus, we understand how important this task really is in Christ. The devotion that we have to give. I mean, and we can obviously see the things that we're doing right now at Hickman Road. The thing, we're getting the ball moving faster than what it was before. And we're going to reach peaks that we've never reached before. We're going to see things we've never... We're going to do things we've never done before. Amen? Amen. We're going to be doing it, man. I love growth. I love experiencing new things that I've never experienced before. I love doing things I've never done before. And I love the challenge. I love failing at times, because then that's a measure of what I need to do to be better the next time, you know? And these Gentile converts are taking on a huge task by committing their life to Christ. I mean, they're undergoing oppression. They're undergoing the judgment of the Jews. I mean, these Jews have been privileged their whole lives by being God's chosen people. And now they're crossing over into Christ Jesus. And these Jews are looking at them like, listen, you guys are still the uncircumcised, whether you chose Christ or not. Well, no. I'm a part of you now, and you're a part of me, and we're a body, and we got to work together. We are sharing in the blessings of Christ Jesus. And why is that so major? It's major because all of us were once outside of the chosen people. But now we are in Christ Jesus. And now he's trying to break down to these Gentile converts. Okay, getting excited. Okay, so go back to chapter 1. We got to read these again so we can hammer these in. Chapter 1, verse 3 says, blessed be the God of our Father, of Lord Jesus Christ, who has blessed us with every spiritual blessing in the heavenly places in Christ. He says, I want to remind me of what? You've been chosen. You've been chosen. What else? He says, before the foundation of the world, before you knew how to love, before someone loved you, you had God that had predestined a plan to save you before you even thought about it. Thank you, God, for thinking of me before I even could think of myself. Isn't it beautiful when you know your family member loves you? And all that happens only in Christ Jesus. The everlasting love. The everlasting love. What else do we have in Christ? We've been adopted as sons through Jesus. We get to be the praise of his glory. What else do we have? Verse 7, we have redemption in his blood. We have the forgiveness according to his riches. And guess what? He didn't just give us a little bit here and a little bit there with this good stuff. He said, verse 8, which he lavished on us with wisdom and insight. Some of us in here think we are just the top notch when it comes to intellectual. And not true. We still got bounds and bounds, and we still got ways to go. And all the blessings in Christ that he's lavished upon us in wisdom and truth, the theology of God, knowing that he's omniscient, his omniscience, Ron said earlier, El Shaddai, God Almighty. We are dealing with the Creator, and we can never understand him fully. Never will you understand him fully. So there will always be room for growth, understanding, knowledge, and wisdom, and keep on moving forward. Are we with that? God is good. And I will get you out of here in time for that Super Bowl for some of you guys. Some of y'all.
Jesus is greater than the Super Bowl. Yeah, that's some of you guys. Right? Look, and he goes on, it says, look at chapter 3, verse 6. He goes, to be specific, the Gentiles are now fellow heirs and the members of the body and fellow partakers of the promise in Christ Jesus through the gospel. He says, of which I've been made a minister, verse 7, I've been made a minister according to the gift of God's grace, which was given to me according to the working of his power. Verse 8, to me, the very least of all saints, this grace was given to preach to the Gentiles the unfathomable riches of Christ and to bring to light what is the administration and the mystery which for ages has been hidden in God who created all. So again, we go back to this again. Look at verse 9 in chapter 3. Chapter 3, verse 9 says, and to bring to light what is the administration of the mystery. What is the administration? What is this administration of this mystery? And again, why do I keep using this mystery? Look at verse 3. He says, chapter 3, verse 3, he says, that by revelation there was made known to me the mystery that I wrote in brief. Verse 4, by referring to this, when you read, you can understand my insight into the mystery of Christ. Then you drop down to verse 9, and to bring to light what is the administration of the mystery which for ages has been hidden in God who created all things. Again, what is this mystery? What is the administration? What is this administration for this mystery? Well, again, this administration is this. Having been, he said, the administration is this, for the Gentiles to understand how important they truly are. That being built on Christ Jesus, you are being built into a holy temple, and you are being put together as a dwelling place in the dwelling of God in the Spirit. That's major. And the administration is this right here. That all those blessings that you have, all those things that you received, all the wisdom and insight that he's talking about here to these Gentile converts, what he's saying is this. He's saying, listen, everything that you have, the way you express these things is through the church. Everything comes through the church, God's people. So how do we express that wisdom and insight? How do we give that comfort? He says, through the church. You are the church. When you leave here, you're the church because you are being built up as God, as a dwelling place. And when we come together, we are offering up spiritual sacrifices to God who has given us all wisdom, all understanding, and we all have access to this. How? Through the church. Through the church of God. Through the church of God. That's major, guys. That's huge. Every blessing that you receive, you cannot receive that anywhere else. You can't receive that anywhere. Let's go back to chapter 1. Let's prove it. Chapter 1, verse 20. Chapter 1, verse 19. He wants us to know the surpassing greatness of his power toward us who believe. Okay, well, how do we know? He says this. These are in accordance with the working of the strength of his might. Verse 20. Which he brought about where? In Christ. When he raised him from the dead and seated him at the right hand in the heavenly places, far above all rule, authority, and power, and dominion, and every name that is named, and every name that not only in this age, but also in the age to come. Okay, so what else? And that, verse 22, and that he put all things in subjection under his feet and gave him as head over all things to the church. So all the access, all the blessings, all the love, the redemption, the redemption scheme, the love, the kindness, his the praise of his glory, guess where you find all his blessings? Right here. Right here. I go to my brother's house, the blessings ain't there. My brother's not in Christ. My brother's not at my brother's house. I roll on to my sister's house. I can try to seek something out for her. What sister, what you got to give me? We ain't got nothing to give you over here. There's nothing eternal. Nothing that affects you eternally for the better. We ain't got anything over here. Hey, Dad, where we got over here? You got some stuff for me, that eternal stuff? We don't have it over here. So where do I go to get that? In Christ Jesus. Where? In his church. Amen? And that's not just me. That's for everybody. Some of us know we can't go to our extended family and get that kind of treatment, get that eternal treatment. Amen?
But where do you come to get that eternal treatment? You come to God's house with His people. Whew. We can talk about all the wisdom. We can talk about all the knowledge. We can talk about all the things that God has pulled us away and rescued us from. Matter of fact, let's go to Colossians. Colossians has a lot to say about it. Colossians chapter 1. Colossians chapter 1. Colossians chapter 1, verse 9 is where I'll start. Colossians chapter 1, for this reason also, since the day we heard of it, talking about Jesus, since we've heard of it, we have not stopped praying for you and to ask that you may be filled with the knowledge of His will. Not Quentin's will, not this will, His will, in all spiritual wisdom and understanding, verse 10, so that you will walk in a manner worthy of the Lord, to please Him in all respects, bearing fruit in every work, and increasing in knowledge of God. And this is where it gets really good. Verse 11 through 13, he says, strengthened with all power, according to His glorious might, for the attaining of the steadfastness and patience, and with impatience, he says, joyously giving thanks. He says, we have got to be joyously giving thanks. Why? To the Father who has qualified us to share in the inheritance of the saints. He says, He's qualified us to share in all of these blessings. Because we didn't have it without Him. We didn't have it. We were just as the Gentiles, not of His people, outside of the grace, outside of the church, outside, up into the darkness. And we once were a people lost. But He's given us access through Christ Jesus to in the church of God. And He says, here's what you guys got to do. Here's what all of us got to do. Everybody listening up? This is God's word. He says, here's what we got to do. He says, you better joyously be giving thanks to the Father who has qualified you to share in the inheritance in the saints. For He rescued us. None of us rescued ourselves out of this. Verse 13, for He rescued us. Look at that pronoun. Us from the domain of darkness. He transferred us to the kingdom of His beloved Son, in whom we have redemption, the forgiveness of sins. He is the image of the invisible God, the first of all creation, for by Him all things were created, both in heavens and on the earth, visible, invisible, whether throne, dominion, ruler, authorities, all things have been created through Him and for Him. That's good stuff. That's good stuff. And He said, we have to joyously give thanks for those things. Back to Ephesians chapter 3. So basically, it's no longer a mystery, right? It's not a mystery to us. Why is he still calling it a mystery? He's calling it a mystery because you either are in Christ or you're out. And those who are out don't understand the mystery. It's still a mystery to them because they don't know they don't know how to choose. They haven't made that decision. Then it goes on in verse 10, so that the manifold wisdom of God might now be made known through the church. That's beautiful. Everything that is known, everything eternal, all the eternal wisdom, knowledge, understanding is made known through the church. But who is it for, and who is it to? It's from the church, but who is it to? I'm glad we asked the question. He says it's to the church. And so every one of us in here, we're not all on the same level when it comes to belief and understanding and having that faith. So He says, I'm giving you all wisdom, insight, and you can get that in the church right away. But then who else is it for? He says this is for the rulers. These are those in the high places that are in the world working for evil. He says, I want those people working for evil in the high places, I want them to know of the wisdom. And I want them to know about Christ Jesus. I want them to know about the forgiveness He offers. I want them to know about the saving grace that He has. I want them to know they can come and be a part of God's salvation. Then He goes and says, and who is it for? The rulers. Those are the chief ones. And then He said the authorities in the heavenly places. The authorities are the ones who are doing the work of those who are at the top. Working for the darkness, the principalities. Ephesians chapter 6, verse 12 says, Ephesians chapter 6, verse 12 says, "For our struggle is not against flesh and blood, but against the rulers, against the powers, against the world forces of this darkness, against the spiritual forces of wickedness in the heavenly places." So he wants to make known those things so that they can have an opportunity to be a part of the church and be a part of this glorious salvation that he's offering. This inclusive relationship with God. And it says this was in accordance with the eternal purpose with which he carried out in Christ Jesus for our Lord, in whom we have boldness and confident access through faith in him. Why can we go to God in a bold and confident way? Do we know? Why can we go to God in a bold and confident way? Go to Hebrews chapter 4. Hebrews chapter 4, verse 16. Hebrews 4:16 reads this. Actually, let's start in verse 12. He says, "For the word of God is living and active and sharper than any double-edged sword, and piercing as far as division of the soul and spirit of both joint and marrow, and able to judge the thoughts and intentions of the heart. And there is no creature hidden from his sight, but all things are open and laid bare to the eyes of the word with whom we have to do. Therefore, since we have a great high priest who has passed through the heavens, Jesus, the Son of God, let us hold fast our confession, for we do not have a high priest that we cannot sympathize with our weakness, but we have one who has been tempted in all things as we are, yet without sin. So here's why we can. Therefore, let us draw near with confidence to the throne of grace, so that you may receive mercy and find grace to help in a time of need." That's why. Because we have a high priest. We have Jesus that can understand. We have Jesus that can understand our weaknesses. He can understand our suffering. And he did all that without sin. So we can look toward him and ask him. And he can understand. And then finally, "Therefore I ask you not to lose heart at my tribulations on your behalf, for they are your glory." The way the Ephesian people, the Gentile converts are looking at, obviously Paul's not right there with them. Paul's writing from prison. He's writing this letter. They know he's in prison. It's like, man, Paul's doing all these great things. He's encouraging all these things, but Paul, you're still in prison. Like, you're still in prison, Paul. Like, don't be sad at my tribulations. Because what I'm doing for you is to my benefit. And what you do, whatever situation or circumstances you come across, that's going to be to your benefit when you struggle for the gospel. When you become, verse chapter 3, verse 1, "For when you become a prisoner of Christ Jesus for the sake of others," you're working for glory at that point. You're working for the glory of God at that point. So this mystery has been revealed. What's interesting about this as well is, like I said, in chapter 4 is when they start getting into the practical side of Christianity. The first three chapters have been theological significance, theological talk, that spiritual talk about what the church is, what do we gain through the church, how are we building up the church, and who is Christ Jesus, and what did he do, and how does the church work, and how... The mind of God is what we're looking at, first three chapters, that theological section. But then chapter 4 starts, and then we get into the practical, talking about how we walk, why we walk. We got to tolerate one another in love. So we get to the practical side of things. But Christ wants you to know. Christ asks you the question: do you really believe in the power in which he possesses? Do you believe that he can take you from what you formerly were and into the greatness that you can become in Christ Jesus? Do you believe that? Do you believe that you are the chosen? Do you believe in the surpassing greatness? Have the eyes of your heart been enlightened to his surpassing greatness, to his power, and that he's made everything known through the church? Do you believe it? Do you understand it? Do you embrace it? Because the more we embrace that, the more we understand and can be lavished upon in this this wisdom and understanding and insight. I want us to be so deeply submitted in Christ Jesus that we don't have a choice. We need to be deeply submitted in Christ, so deeply submitted in Christ Jesus that we don't have a choice. Well, we do have one choice, and that's to be obedient, but that's the riddle. So, be obedient in Christ, believing in His surpassing greatness. If you have a need this morning, and you've been lacking that understanding, you've been lacking that trust in God, you've been lacking understanding, and you need some help. I mean, we all need help. I need help. I need a lot of help. Mentally, emotionally, physically, spiritually, all kinds of help. You laugh because you know it's true. Amen. But I want us to know that we're a family, and if there's a need that you have, now's the time to come forward as we sing the song of encouragement.